This is Dre, and I am here talking to Todd Robert Anderson, the Mr. Todd Robert Anderson. Hello.
Hi. Thanks for having me on your show.
Anytime.
Called the Toncast.
Right.
It's
right.
What a weird name, but it's
and
an exciting show.
And I ask about it every time. I forget every time, and I'm not asking about it this time, but yes. Thank you so much.
And why would I know about the history of the name of your show anyway? So I'm probably just going to mislead you if you ask again.
And I won't. I promise you I won't.
All right. No. That's fair enough.
I am talking to a big influencer now.
Yes.
How is that going for you?
Oh, working for Blursh, the influencer empire, is great. It's a great team of people. There's and they're very warm, and they're all experts at what they do. and you know, it's humbling for me because I'm doing a lot of the on-camera work. And it's, you know, my face is associated very much with the brand Blursh.
Yeah.
But the
name alone.
I just feel like part of a team.
No, it seems very A-team-ish.
Yeah. Yeah, it is A-team-ish. It's like the best people in a van that are wanted by the law.
My question is Blursh.
Blursh.
Yeah, the name. What's up?
It's just an old family name.
Okay.
From one of the founders of the of the company.
I love it.
I mean, I wasn't my baby. I was approached to be, you know, the sort of the face of it.
Got it.
It's their thing.
Okay. I think my favorites are the parking lots. It's very informative.
Yeah, the parking lot reviews they came to me with that. I was like, oh, that's excellent. That's never been done, people reviewing parking lots.
The sad part is there is ample parking where you're reviewing. You need to go to the heart of Santa Monica or downtown L.A.
That's sort of why I could expand. There could be a spinoff. I mean, there's only so many parking lots in Simi Valley.
That's what I'm saying. Eventually, you don't even need a parking lot in Simi Valley.
Eventually, I'll run out. But I may actually go further out into Ventura County.
Ooh.
And, like, do parking lots in, like, Moore Park, you know?
Can you imagine?
Yeah.
In the middle of an open field, and you're like reviewing a parking lot. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Because it struck me with living in Simi Valley, as I have for a couple years now, there is so much parking here.
Ample.
It's an immense amount of parking. And
it pisses me off.
And you can literally traverse entire neighborhoods via parking lots. You don't ever have to get on a street. There's parking lots that are connected to other parking lots. I could probably get from my house to, like, the movie theater on the other side of the 118 just with parking lots.
Yes.
So I thought that was worth exploring on a deeper level.
No, I hear you. I just wish they would take this concept and bring it on down to Hollywood, West Hollywood, Santa Monica, downtown LA.
Yeah.
Where we need more parking. We need more reviews about parking.
I've said if they're willing to pay for the Ubers, the massive commutes. I mean, I'll need a limo. I think.
A limo.
So I can chill, because I'm going to be doing an hour and a half commute every time I go to one of those places.
You might want to just spend the night and just ask for.
Yeah, they could get me like a crash pad.
You know, a B&B. Airbnb.
I guess we can talk about that and negotiate that if they want to take it to the next level. But right now, they're pretty happy with just the Simi Valley thing. I'm currently doing a... you can see all this on YouTube, by the way. Blursh has a channel. You can subscribe so you don't miss a single beat.
Yes.
From the Blursh influencer empire. community. But right now I'm doing a series about church parking lots.
Ooh, you're getting religious on us?
Well, it's not. I'm not getting religious, but there are a lot of churches in Simi Valley of all kinds, and temples, you know. Okay. People need to worship, and they need to know how the parking lot's going to be. Maybe they'll pick their religion according to parking lot.
But I feel like they're very... You can always find parking at a church. There's no issue. There's no problem. Do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're open to any member. Please come on in.
They like to have ample parking lots.
Exactly. Yeah. Because they don't want any reason to have you say, nah, I'm good.
Yeah, I see what you're saying, but I got to say this. The parking lots I've seen so far have been pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking that if they get a run on their religion, if it really gets popular, they're going to have a problem. They're going to have a lot of spillover onto the streets.
And that's a problem.
And that's going to cause a problem with the city. The neighbors are going to start complaining. You know, it's just like when all those people who have no homes, but they have RVs and they park in Malibu next to the ocean, which is exactly where I would want to fucking be if I was homeless in an RV parked next to the ocean and Malibu's trying to get them all kicked out of there. It's going to be same thing in Simi Valley. And Simi Valley doesn't see that kind of stuff very often. You know?
Don't have homeless people?
We do.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I see them. Yeah.
What, the one person you saw the other day?
There's a few.
Okay.
I think they actually, they're getting thrown out of the place they live.
Oh, really?
Yeah, which was like in part of the L.A. Basin or something like that.
Okay.
Like a tent city. But like where nobody else was, you know? I don't know why.
I think it's just, I don't know. I just feel like, I mean, obviously the homelessness has tripled, I feel like, in a few years. It's gone from a few to under every single freeway underpass. It's tent. It's like downtown LA now.
Yeah, it's crazy,
In the valley, in wherever you go. So, yeah, I guess they would be out here too, which is, I mean, rent's quadrupled. No one can afford to... a mortgage, you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, yeah, you spend $400 every time you go to the grocery store.
I don't.
Well, I mean,
I don't shop at Whole Foods.
I don't either. I shop at Ralph's.
But yeah.
I do shop for three. And cats.
Oh, right, yeah.
I don't go every week, but it's just like every time I go, when I get stuff, I'm not like an impulse buyer.
Right.
I'm not like, whoa, let me get this crap. And I go and I got a list and I fill the list and it's always really expensive.
But are you doing also your cleaning supplies at Ralph's, or are you going somewhere else
for
that?
If need be, yeah, I'll get the cleaning
supplies. Because a lot of times, just to clue you in, cleaning supplies, you can get some of those things at like 99 cent store.
Yeah,
just
sure,
so you know.
Sure.
You know what I mean? If you're just looking for, you know, Windex or a sponge or Ajax or something like that,
true.
You can.
That's true.
Toilet cleaner. So I break it up where, you know, the good, and I wouldn't, but no offense to 99 cent store, but they're selling like some fruit now and
I'm not doing that because that just sounds like stuff that's probably about to expire.
Yeah.
I mean, nothing drives me more nuts, and it happens sometimes in Ralph's, but we got some at a local butchery marketplace that has produce.
Okay.
And within a day it was all bad. I was like,
are you kidding?
No.
Was there an expiration date on the thing or no?
No.
Wow.
No.
Did you go back to the store or you let it go?
No, I just threw it out.
I won't get
produce there anymore.
Like what? Like just like...
I had grapefruit and the grapefruit when
really?
I cut out... I had three of them and it was like the next day.
Okay.
And when I cut them open, they were all nasty.
That sucks.
And I was like, oh.
But
that happens sometimes, like with fruit and stuff. You get it at the market and the next day it's got mold on it. It's like, what the fuck? Where, you know?
No, I know.
I wish I was organized
enough to go to the farmer's market, you know, on Sundays when they have the farmer market and stuff, to get like fresh fruit, fresh vegetables. But it is kind of true that stuff can't lie around. Like you have to kind of eat it within a day or
well,
two,
and
when, I feel.
Yeah. When you're talking about the big markets, it's like traveled.
Yeah.
You know, so you're not getting it right off the tree. It's already traveled in trucks and shit.
Yeah. And then you get it, and then, you know, well, we'll do for this is for Sunday, and then before you know it, every strawberry needs to be put in the freezer now because
it's, right, right. I mean, that's why I like ideally I would go to a farmer's market, but you know,
but no one can afford that.
Yeah, it's so expensive. But you do see the difference. You taste the difference, one.
I know.
And two, they last a lot longer when you buy at the farmer's market.
I know.
So maybe it's worth it, because when you think about all the fruit and veggies that you don't get to within 48 hours, they go bad.
And do whatever.
Maybe the extra money would make.
Is it cheaper out here, the Ralph's, you think?
No.
Right? It's the same?
I think it's the same.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, all of Southern California is too fucking expensive.
Somebody told me once, though, that the Ralph's has different prices based on the location.
Maybe.
So West Hollywood, it's more expensive than,
I'm sure there's a variation, because of what they pay in rent, sure.
Okay, yeah.
That's what that's
so
about.
So it might be cheaper
out here. I don't think it's any cheaper than it was in North Hills.
That should be your next blurch.
Comparing grocery store prices?
And just to see. I'm curious.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? I mean,
that's true.
But like I said, I don't really grocery shop, you know, and I kind of, like I told you, 99 cents store. If I need something real quick, I'd rather pay 99 cents for it than whatever, you know, Reynolds Wrap even. Do you get what I'm saying?
And, yeah.
You know, so I don't know, but it's definitely, I think everyone at this point in time has to kind of think along the lines of being economical and, you know, how can I save here? Was it really worth spending there? Unless you're, you know, swimming in money, which.
But when you talk about splitting I will pay a little extra money for the cleaning supply that I need at Ralph's.
You will.
To avoid
having to go to CVS or Rite Aid. But isn't it all in the same complex anyways?
No, not my Ralph's.
Oh, that's why. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, my CVS is up there. And, you know, then it's more time and it's more gas. And how much money am I really saving? Is it worth all that trouble for 50 cents?
Look at you. I didn't know you were lazy. I'm just kidding.
I am lazy. I'm very lazy. Super lazy.
Lazy enough. Are you watching Super Bowl this Sunday?
The what?
Are you going to watch the Super Bowl this Sunday?
Oh, the Super Bowl. No, I don't have any commercials that'll...
You're so wrong. The commercials are still good, though. You're not going to watch it just for that?
No.
You really are not going to watch the Super
Bowl. No, why would I watch the Super
Bowl? It's a fun event. Grab people and just drink some beer and watch the commercials and
I'll watch the game. Probably, like, drink some beer and watch some movies.
Wow. I remember one Super Bowl Sunday. I think we all went to, like, Magic Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
And it was empty.
Yeah.
We did that
for Disneyland one year, too.
You did.
Yeah, it was very, very low volume of people.
We should plan for that one year again. Because Colby's old enough to, like, do the rides and stuff.
Yeah.
Does he like roller coasters and stuff like that?
No.
Oh, no.
He's done the Disneyland ones, but like he's in eighth grade and they're having a school trip to Six Flags.
Ooh, okay.
And he's like, nope.
Really?
Yeah, because he does not.
But he does Space Mountain and all
he
this
did
stuff
Space like, Mountain, Thunder right. Mountain, but he wouldn't. We went to California Adventure and he wouldn't do the one with a loop in it. Like
really?
He's not having loops and he's not having like super tall. Like, and he went on the Tower of Terror, Guardians of
the
Galaxy.
That one is scary.
And it's scary as hell.
Yeah.
I didn't like that one. That freaked me out.
Okay.
But he tolerated that. But like roller coasters, he's just got an aversion.
I mean, that's fair. It is kind of unnatural. But I think it's the worst part for me is that going up that hill at the beginning.
It's
of the
ride. Anticipation.
That's the worst part.
Yeah.
But once you're at the top of the hill, it's just that first drop, and once you can get over that first drop, you're good.
Yeah,
I'm good.
I think you got to have a particular kind of thrill-seeking gene. For I love roller coasters. I don't like them anymore. Like, I can do the Disney ones, but I don't think I could do a day at Six Flags. I think.
Oh, really?
Because like I went like 10 years ago now, and like halfway through the day, I was like, I don't feel good anymore.
I just felt
queasy. There was too many of the fucking loops and shit. So I was like, I don't know. And my back hurt. You know?
No, it's uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah.
The heat, the line, the getting banged around for 30 seconds, the heat, the line. Yeah, it's
uncomfortable. I'm 48. I think I'm not doing those rides anymore.
No, okay.
I did them. I love them. I know they have new ones that I'm like, oh, that looks cool.
Yeah.
But I like the reality of it. You know, because I like just spending a day at fucking Disneyland.
It's a lot.
Ugh.
It's a lot.
It's exhausting.
But you don't... I know people who go there on a regular basis.
No, I know those people are crazy.
No, but they say you don't have to... Next ride. Like, just chill. And we go. We'll get something to eat. We'll grab a hot dog. Maybe we'll wait in line for one thing. That like, they... Because they go so often...
No, they don't
have to hit everything, and they actually have a chill time.
One, I don't want to commute to Anaheim on a regular basis.
Yeah.
Two,
yeah.
Even if I don't go on the rides, I still find Disneyland exhausting. It's full of people and children, and so many of them are clearly awful.
I've never had a bad experience at Disneyland.
You've never seen people fight at Disneyland?
Only that one family on the internet, but I've never
seen... Every time I go. Yeah, it's just, you just got to wait for the right time of day.
Families.
Around 3 or 4.
Like a kid especially having a tantrum? Or what do you mean?
Kids having tantrums. People getting in fights.
Really?
People throwing drinks at each other. I've seen it all.
I've never seen that.
Last time I went too, it was rainy. And I saw this kid just... His feet came out from under him, and he landed on his head. I was like, shit, that kid is dead. And I've never, like, he was descended upon by these weird Disney employees
who
picked him up and got him out. And he was gone. And I was like, what was that?
Oh, my gosh. Okay. No, I've never witnessed anything horrific. I think that's why so many people love Disneyland, because you never see trash. Everyone's smiling.
It
everyone's
is very
happy,
clean.
And it just seems very organized, very whatever. So what you're telling me, I have never in my life.
One time, we were just in the line for the train that takes you from one place to another, you know? So we're waiting for the train, and you know, the line snakes around a little bit. And this lady sort of just, like, puts throws her cup in the bush.
Oh, my gosh.
And this lady... picks it up and puts it in her face and goes, really? Really?
Seriously?
Yeah. And then they just started yelling at each other.
Another lady from the line.
Yeah. Like a scolder, don't you litter.
I mean, she's right, but...
Yeah, but then she's like screaming at her, and then the other lady started screaming back at her, fuck you, you know?
I love it. And it continued. Who broke them up?
Nobody.
They just...
The train came. And then we were like, sit far away from either of those people.
No, I've never. Okay. I actually haven't been to Disneyland in a very long time. I like roller coasters, but I'm not the type of person who is going to sit in the front with the hands up in the air. Or in the very back with the hands up in the air.
I like sitting in the front. I don't do the hands up in the air, though.
I can't.
I scream really loud. When I'm on a roller coaster.
You do?
Yeah, by the end of a day at Six Flags, I would always... I have no voice left.
I scream loud because I'm scared. I've never picked you screaming on a roller coaster.
And I never look anything short of insane in those photos.
I love it.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
All right, we need to go again. You really aren't going to...
I don't think so.
No?
I don't think so. No. Look at me. I have fucking tendonitis everywhere.
I know you do.
Cuts out of my arms.
This poor man is sitting in front of me. It looks like a biker, but he's got all these different ailments going on that I can't even spell. And he also got a mole scraped out of his arm. So now it looks like he has like a tattoo.
That's literally what happens.
No, but it really
looks extreme. That's modern medicine.
It looks extreme. So his whole... Yeah, everything is...
Well, it's all unrelated, but yeah.
It's all unrelated, but it is kind of disheartening at the same time. But it's a new look, and I think you're rocking it.
Yeah, the pads on my elbows from my tendonitis look cool. I got one from my foot coming in the mail today.
Is that really going to help you, that pad on your elbow?
It just gives you support, so it takes some of the stress off your elbows.
Okay.
So it helps them heal. It helps the pain stop.
Okay, and how long are you supposed to be wearing this thing?
I wear them until the pain goes.
Okay, so forever. I don't know why I'm laughing. Pain is not a funny thing.
But it does. I don't wear them all the time. I just...
You wear it in the house, or you do wear it outside?
I wear them if I'm doing housework or exercising or any gardening, anything like that, I wear them.
Okay.
If I'm going to do any work like that, I wear them.
Okay. I think that's... Next, I feel like you're going to get carpal tunnel.
I'm sure maybe. I will. I'm sure I will.
Which...
As soon as I'm inspired to write something, I'm sure I'll get
carpal.
Don't
say that. Don't say that.
I spend so much time staring at blank pages going, what? Why?
Are you
why am I going to write? Why would I write any fucking thing?
Stop saying that. Are you really having writer's block?
No. No.
You're okay.
It's not writer's block. It's,
what is it?
It's just apathy. It's just apathy. It's like, I've written so many things.
Right.
Novels and screenplays.
Yes, you have.
And,
right.
And, it's still it's in there. Not... It doesn't matter. Nobody reads
what
it.
What doesn't matter? That's
nobody
not true.
Nobody reads it.
You
it
know
changes
that's not true.
Nothing. It's just...
Well,
yeah.
What do you want to change? What is it that you're looking for when you do...
Well, I mean, when you create pieces of entertainment, you just want an audience. That's
right.
It. You know? So...
And you don't think you would have one?
Well, I already have self-published 2 books.
Yeah.
Very few people have read them.
I mean, I think...
The sales are not good.
But I also feel like this happened before the influencer, before the frenzy. You know what I mean? I feel like if you went back now and... Or wrote something new, the way you can advertise it and sell it up would be different than in the past when you wrote your other 2 books and all that stuff. So I do think it's about publicity.
Well, I have a horror novel. But, you know, it's...
You
I don't
do?
Know. Yeah, I have one that I'm... I want to self-publish, but I want to find somebody to make a cover for me. And it's hard to find somebody who will make a book cover for free.
I might know someone. Amanda. She was on your Film Pigs episode.
Oh, okay. She does art?
Yes. Her and her wife.
Oh, okay.
You, yeah, you guys should talk.
All right.
Yeah, she does art. Are you kidding me? They're at the... What is that? Comic-Con every... They have a booth and everything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no. You gotta talk to people, and people know people, and then you can make...
Well, I have a friend who's an artist who has art that I think would be really good for my book cover, so I was gonna ask him.
Yeah, but ask him...
But I feel bad not paying somebody.
No, but I think at this point in time, I think when it's friends helping friends out, and when they believe in the project, and they believe in you, it's not so much like... You know, it's like helping somebody move. Like, you know, you're not gonna get paid... whatever an hour, it's like just buy me a slice of pizza and a pizza.
I'm 48. If somebody asked me to help them move, fuck off.
What about a drive to the airport?
We're too old.
A drive to the airport, what about that?
A drive to the airport?
Driving someone to the airport. I would do it. If it was a good friend.
I don't know why I would why. I mean, I guess, yeah, I guess if a friend
did, I don't think I've ever asked.
I mean, can't you just take a shuttle?
Yeah, that's a thing. I have friends who live closer to LAX.
I've
so
driven,
I just asked to park at their car and take an Uber from there.
I've driven people to the flyaway.
That's as far as you go?
Well, no. I mean, why the fuck should I drive you all the way to LAX? Like, I've
well, now
driven,
that you're here, but when you live closer...
Well, when I lived in North Hills, I would drive... I mean, I got up at 4 a.m. to drive people to the flyaway. But
okay.
I didn't take them all the way to fucking LAX.
No, definitely not. And even Burbank is a bit of a stretch.
Yeah, Burbank, I could... North Hills, I'd take someone to Burbank, sure.
Versus the LAX one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever asked someone to take me to the airport to think about it, though. I've always done some sort of, you know, figure
right.
it out, and then I'll take an... You know, get down there closer, and then take an Uber from wherever it could take.
Wherever but you leave your car.
I do understand some people asking for a ride, and I've driven some people down there, but my car is so old now that
mm-hmm.
it's like, you're going to miss your flight. So
right, right.
they know not to ask me. But yeah. I would do it. And I've, like I said, I've driven people to the Burbank one. But
mm-hmm.
that one's like, that's nothing.
Yeah, that's not a big
like,
deal, yeah.
So
well, the,
simple.
Well, the other thing about LAX is like, you take somebody to LAX to drop them off. Part, a huge segment of your commute
mm-hmm.
is fucking just being in that oval.
In that area.
In
yeah.
that loop.
Yeah.
And it's awful.
And it's all different now.
It's not fair to ask somebody to take you to LAX. I think that's not fair to do to a person.
No, I agree. I do agree. But I think a lot of people don't want to, they want to keep their cars at their house. I get it. And like you said, there is a shuttle bus, there is a this, there is a that. I do understand why they ask. But, and it's a totally different system now. My friend just went to pick up her friend or drop her friend off, and they thought the authorities there thought she was driving an Uber, so they put her in the Uber line, and she goes, no, I'm not an Uber driver, I don't need to be in this line. So there was an extra 20 minutes stuck in the, you know how they have that whole thing at LAX where you have to,
I haven't gone since they changed that
stuff. Oh, okay. You're in for a treat. Yeah, you're in for a treat.
Sounds awful.
They think it's I mean, it is organized to a degree where it's not like, you know, people merging in and out, but the simple fact that now you have to go down to a certain area, take a shuttle bus to somewhere where now the Uber people are lined up, and it's like next Uber, and then you have, you know what I mean? It's like it's all organized for you, but in the same token, just the simple fact that I can't just step out of my gate and just wait for my Uber right there. Now I gotta go to a certain location. So it's, I think if you're doing it any other time outside of Thanksgiving to Christmas, I think you're okay. But yeah, I'm curious to think what you're gonna think the next time you have to fly out.
Just awful. I don't like air travel.
Yeah, I don't like flying at all. And not, you know, it's not something, it's not relaxing. I look forward to it. I'm always stressed.
Yeah, just getting there. And then I'm not a fan of flying. Yeah. I have to go into, like, a place.
Yeah.
I don't like being... I can't sleep on planes either.
Don't.
No, I can't, because when I fall asleep, if I fall asleep, I immediately dream we're crashing.
No way!
Every time I fall asleep on a train, on a plane, I will wake up with a... Ah!
You're lying! No, that is horrible!
I can't fall asleep on planes. Doesn't matter
how. You honestly dream that?
Yeah.
I would die if that was... Oh, no.
Yeah.
So you force yourself awake and just try to just stay, like, what, read a book? Or, like, what are you doing?
I just watch movies.
Oh, honey. I fall out.
Yeah, people do. People do.
It's not a good sleep, but it's kind of like there's nothing I could do. I'm not, you know...
Well, I wish I was, like, that kind of sleeper that, like, just sleeps, like... When something horrible is happening to them, they just, they narcolepsy into sleep. But it doesn't work for me.
I didn't know that. That's horrible.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, flying is stressful. And did I pack everything? And what are they going to make me, you know, I was flying back from Colorado and almost missed my flight. And it was one of those things where it was just like, I had one of those things where I had one carry-on, or was it a check? I checked it. So one bag, and then I had my purse. This purse. And take everything off, you know, walk through that thing to see if you're going to beep, whatever. Check the hair, checked everything. Waiting for my purse to come down the belt. Still not coming. People, excuse me, all around me, push me out. And I'm like, is my purse? Is my purse there? And they don't communicate with you.
No.
So the lady was like, yeah, your purse is here. And it's like, okay, lady, like, I'm just trying to understand where it went from here to there. Literally, this woman was slowly unzipping the purse. Let me look. Mm-hmm. Let me take this one product out. Let me smell it. Let me put it over here for a second. Is there anything else? And it was like one of those things where it was like, I've never been late for a flight. I've always been on time. But it's like because it took so long to get my purse because she was going purse by purse and literally examining everything and got the, what is that, the litmus test or whatever where you take the thing. And I was like, oh, my God, there's nothing in there but a gun and acid. I don't understand why there's a
big deal. It's just gun and acid.
She finally approved of my purse. And here I am like. In my socks, running.
I always get there 2 hours early.
I try to.
And if it's international, I get there 3 hours early.
You have to.
Otherwise, I'm too stressed.
I didn't know that about you, Todd. That's horrible.
It's just how it is.
And are you you're not taking some sort of, like, Xanax or just something to, like...
No, I should ask my... My doctor has retired, so I have a new doctor. I haven't even met my new doctor yet.
For real?
But he would not give me anything like that.
Even when you asked him and told him the situation?
Yeah, yeah. You don't need that.
That's kind of cold. Because anybody and their mother.
No. He was, in my estimation, he's one of the good doctors in the United States. Because he was not fucking overprescribing drugs so you can get over yourself. You know what I mean?
No, I get that.
I mean, everybody's addicted to opiates and shit like that. So he's not going to give it to you unless it's a fucking serious thing.
Have you ever had a panic attack?
I've had panic attacks, yeah.
I've never had one. And what I've heard is it is one of the worst experiences of your life. You have no idea what's going on and you feel like you're dying.
Yeah, yeah. So, I've had those. There's a name for those if it comes in sleep.
Oh, the night terror.
It's a night terror, yeah.
But that's the difference.
I've had those panic attacks. But I
from a nightmare, though.
No, no. It's weird. Like a night terror, it's not a nightmare. Okay. It's not like some subconscious thing. It's like you wake up and like you can't move.
But you're
conscious. And it feels like something's pushing down on you.
And you're aware that that's happening. Like, you're awake and
you're aware that that's happening. You're awake and you're in a total panic because you can't get up and you can't breathe. And you think you're dying. Yeah.
And how do you break out of that?
It just goes... You kind of wake up again.
Okay. So, but you've never... That's different than... You've never had a full-on panic attack in the daytime, out of nowhere, all of a sudden, you're like freaking out, this and the other. I'm like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I know people who get that. They get triggered.
No, I haven't had that. The only thing I can think of is one time I was doing an episode of a show called The Guardian, and I had you know, was having my headache problem. It was kind of new to it. I have this chronic headache. And they thought it was my sinuses, you know, just being swollen and causing discomfort. So I was trying allergy medicine, and one didn't work. And then I just started a new one. And, like, I had such a weird reaction to it. Like, it made my heart beat fast. Oh, wow. And, like, I was, like, sweaty. And I had to go. And I was, like, going over my lines. I was in my room when it was happening. I was like, what the fuck is happening to me? I feel so weird. And I felt like I was going to collapse, you know? And they're like, okay, it's time.
Oh, my God.
I was like, okay, cool. Breathe. And I get there and you know, it was just the rehearsal. But they have the rehearsal. And I'm sitting there and Simon Baker's talking at me. And I was like, I have no idea what I mean, I knew it by heart.
Yes.
But I was like, I have no idea what the fuck I'm doing.
Are you serious?
Yeah. No, I totally went blank, freaked out. And it was a rehearsal, so I just went, what's the line? And God, I was like, oh, yeah.
Oh, wow.
But, like, it was this moment of...
pure panic.
Like, the whole room was spinning. I was like, what the fuck is happening?
And then, you went back to your trailer after the rehearsal, or like you just slashed?
Yeah, I went back to the trailer.
Laid on the floor,
drank a bunch of water.
That sucks,
Came back,
Todd.
And the scene went fine, ultimately, but like, oh, I was freaking out.
That sucks, and because it's like, that's not the time you want to be having a panic attack.
No, really, not at all.
And no one noticed, really.
No, because I kept it together, I think, on some level, you know? And I was just a bit part. I mean, I was on the show 3 times, but it was only, you know, it was only ever 1 or 2 scenes. It was, you know, small stuff. So I don't think people were that tuned in to what I might be going through versus what the leads were.
No, I know.
Or maybe they just didn't notice. Maybe I actually covered well.
Wow.
Despite the fact that I didn't know the line. But it was just a rehearsal, so.
Thank God, though.
Yeah, but then I went back and I was like, I was just going over my lines like crazy. I was like, okay, I got to be able to do this if I'm like falling over.
And you figured it out that it was the medicine.
That was my only, I stopped taking it and it went away, so.
That sucks of all the days, of all the time to have an attack.
Well, and I learned that, like, if I get a new medication.
Don't try it.
And I don't try it the day before I started. New gig.
Don't breathe before you start a new gig. Jesus. Yeah. Oh, I saw your commercial, by the way. The cute one with the father-son.
Oh, with the yeah, that's a good one.
That's a cute commercial. I like that.
I like that commercial, too.
How many days to shoot that? 1 or 2?
It was actually 3 because it was part of a campaign.
Right on.
I mean, I was only doing like a couple hours a day.
Yeah, but still, that's great.
The last day, it was a full day, but the first 2 days. Yeah, it was cool getting 3 days of work out of 1 commercial. Fantastic.
What was the audition? What did you have to pretend to do? Were you with the son? Like, how did they break up the audition? I'm always curious.
It was they just, yeah, they had adults paired pretending with kids to... and the kids are just, you know, pretending.
That's adorable.
Yeah, it's kind of funny in the when it's not real, because when you're breaking to, like...
Yeah.
Unless
it's a stick shift, but
To mime breaking. One, you're not breaking, so you kind of have to be in tune to the actor next to you to see if they're, like, doing any movements can... It's very silly. But yeah, that's what it was. It's just a dad and a son.
I love that.
It's just reacting.
Yeah. The auditions are always... to go from, like, the audition to the actual product. And it's just like, how do they figure it out? Do you know what I mean? When it's like, okay, pair, the mom and the dad, you come in with this one. It's just like, I'm just trying to understand with all these different people when they say, let's take that mom with that kid, that dad, like that whole trying to...
They don't always do that.
You don't think so?
No, obviously they do it in the final casting type of deal, but they're... Like, usually with initial calls, it's pretty haphazard. It's just they just need a dad and a kid and a mom, right?
Yeah, so yeah.
It's,
okay.
They're not, like, super precious because they're seeing lots of people. And the thing is if once you pair people up and they have to be there at an actual specific time, that can be a pain in the ass.
That's true. Okay.
But they do often do it with callbacks because there are fewer people and then they have actual groups that they want to see. But they don't even always do it with that either. So it sort of depends.
Every time I have an audition with this, like the parents and the kids and okay, this one with this one, do I need another mom? It's always like the room, it's so claustrophobic. I'm mm-hmm. always standing in the hallway and it's just, the real parents of the kids are there too.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just like,
there's lots of people.
1,000 people in the room. And it's just the most. And then it's like, can I bring everybody in just to go over what we're going to do? And it's like a 12 parter. And I'm not going to remember this because I'm like the fourth group that's going in. But it's like, okay, first, I need you all to stand on this line. Mom, dad, da 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 da. Say your name, turn around, da da da. First, you're going to react to this and this and the other. Then just try to look over that. And it's just this huge thing and then by the time you go in, he's got to re-explain it anyways.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's too many specifics, and it's always everyone's got it good, and everyone's kind of looking at each other like, I have no idea what you're talking about. All I heard was tape and look over there, and it's just like someone opens a fridge, react to the fridge, but don't look too much. Look over here, and I just hate those kind of commercials. That's why when I get callbacks for that, I'm just like, how did that happen? Because. Yeah. Woo, Lord Jesus.
Yeah. When you have something like that to look forward to, you bring a book and settle in.
Oh, I can't.
There's going to be a wait.
I can't concentrate.
Oh, no?
When I'm in that audition, like that whole around all these actors, I just want to remove myself from that energy. So I just kind of...
That's why I read a book.
That you can zone in on the book? Really?
Yeah, and also if I'm reading a book, people are less likely to bother me. I mean, there's always somebody. What are you reading?
It's that talking. It's that talking.
What's it about?
it's the oddest thing. It's always that one person that's trying to work the room. And it's like, that's fine if you do see a friend. I've seen friends on different auditions and stuff, but it's just when someone's like in a full-blown conversation in the lobby and you're about to go into an audition, I'm not saying that you've got to like focus and everybody leave me alone, but it is talking so loud and this is what's happening and laughing and da-da-da, and I'm just like, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear it. And it's just so funny how some people don't, I don't know if the word does not take it seriously or maybe they are.
I think they're expending... excess nervous energy on socializing.
Yeah, but don't work the room. Like, just...
Some people are just wired that way.
It's the most, I just feel suffocated and like you're throwing all that on me and I don't want it. And that's what bothers me when you are paired up with someone. I just like to go in and just, it's a random thing. But when they're like, okay, you two are together. And then Vinja, oh, I guess I'm your husband. Let me sit next to my name, Brad. Just suddenly it's like, we don't need to, this isn't like a dating website. Like, we're good. We're just pretending to buy a car for Toyota. Like, this isn't, I love you lived in LA.
Yeah, when they pair you up with somebody and they're like, you want to go over the lines? I'm like,
oh God.
More than anything, I want to go over the lines.
With you. Yeah, and like, they try to like, And then you got the kid and they're trying to joke around with the kid and make chemistry, like, you know, I could really be your dad. And it's like, dude, this is, you don't need to do all that.
No,
like,
you don't.
It's the oddest thing to me when actors try to, like, let's get a little chemistry going. Let me get to know her real quick before we go in the room. Like, we don't need to get to know each other.
Yeah, it's looks. Yeah.
That's
we'll
it.
We'll be friendly and nice to each other.
That's it. And normally, yeah. It's, you know what I mean? It bothers me. It bothers me so much. So I don't know. It's funny, but I feel like that whole process is a business in itself.
Yeah.
Of the auditioning, the, you know, where do I park? No actor parking. Da, 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 all that bullshit before you even go in and audition for the 2 minutes. That whole thing wears me out.
And you get paid how much money to do all that?
Yeah.
Nothing.
I know.
It's all to roll the dice.
During business hours, running from, you know, what, and the auditions for Santa Monica are always at like 4:30, 3:15, something ridiculous. And it's just like, wow. It took me almost 2 hours to get home from an audition one time. And I was just like, are you kidding me? I was in the room for like less than a minute. It took me longer to walk to my car.
Yeah.
From the actual audition. And I was just like, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
I was put on hold for it, but it, you know what I mean? But at the same token, it's just like, that's,
I know,
a lot of,
I know.
It's a sacrifice.
This is a thing.
It's a sacrifice.
Theatrical auditions versus commercial. I just feel like they're flip-flopped. They don't do it right. Because like commercials, you go in commercials and you're always auditioning with another actor.
Yeah.
Almost always.
Yeah.
Or other actors in the room.
Right.
So you're playing off the actors, but it's a commercial, and it doesn't matter. The chemistry's not that important. It's the look of the people.
Right.
You know, and if they're serviceable, their chemistry is going to be fucking fine.
Yeah. Okay.
And if it, in theatrical auditions, you always audition with somebody just reading off camera.
I know.
Who isn't necessarily an actor.
Yeah.
And so that's, to me, like that kind of audition for a theatrical thing, it's completely different than actually acting in whatever show or play that it is.
No,
it's like
right.
This whole special kind of acting where you're essentially doing the CGI acting.
Yeah.
You know, there's a tennis ball that you watch and you have to really be listening and responding, but it's not, you're not really getting what, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I hear what you're trying to say.
So it would matter more to do it with an actual actor.
Yeah.
And they could get a sense of
the chemistry
and your abilities, professionally speaking, you know, how do you work with other actors?
That's very true too. Because I do feel like the reader is just saying the line and just, you know, doesn't really, not that you have to give me so much, but when you are like just reading the next line.
Well, and they do it over and over and over and over and over and over again. So it's not, they're not, even if they're putting something into it, it winds up sounding phony. Anyway, because they just do it so much and so much and so much, and that's exhausting for them.
Yeah,
you know. So if it's two people who are fresh, you know, and it doesn't, they don't have to both be on camera. They could just take turns being off camera.
And that actually would, that actually, I mean, that did happen actually for a commercial audition I did where he was like, "Can you read the other part now?"
Mm-hmm.
And we were both auditioning for the same, were we? Yeah, I think we're both. He just, let me just bring you both in at the same time, tell you what's going on. And we both read both parts. So
and you,
she read whatever.
Yeah.
So it was like we brought flavor and energy to both sides. We're just in
that,
case.
Yeah, that happens commercially all the time. They don't read off camera generally. Sometimes the session runner will, if it's like a lot of host copy or whatever.
Yeah.
But most of the time, that's what they do. They have somebody, like I went out for one of those progressive ads
with
the weird motorcycle guy. But the lead of the commercial is already cast because it's somebody who has a campaign, but that's the part you play off camera. And then
when you're on camera,
you're doing the part you're auditioning.
But it would be cool for theatrical, like the same thing,
because you have actors who are, you don't always know what you're going to get, unfortunately, because not all actors are good. A lot of them are not.
And the thing is, I hear what you're saying about the reader and stuff, but I don't want to say get thrown off, but like when someone's like, can we go over our lines together to send the other before we go in? It's kind of like I have my own, not visual of what the scene is, but it's just it your energy sometimes throws me off. So I almost do like to just go in by myself and just do it my own way.
Commercially, I prefer to audition by myself.
And theatrically sometimes too, because especially it's your moment.
Sure.
And if I'm you're seeing the scene a certain way, and if I'm trying to as the other actor, even if I only have one line two or whatever, I'm still trying to kind of take over and make it.
Well, yeah, I mean, I see what you're saying. If somebody's a self-serving performer, that's the trick with, yeah. I just more mean on a, you know, on a philosophical level, perhaps, that it just seems weird to me that you, if you're going to have actors work together, it's not in the theatrical place, it's in the commercial place. It's just weird to me. That's all.
Yeah.
It's just a strange.
Auditions are weird to me.
Auditions are weird, general, for sure.
I want to one day just be on the other side of it and just start from the beginning, like American Idol, from the beginning as a judge, and just see like what comes in.
Well, and it's all, I did the weirdest audition like experience I had. These guys were making an indie movie.
Okay.
And it was going to be all improvised.
Okay. Oh, like Best in Show, like Waiting for Guffman. Like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Except their concept was a lot weirder.
Okay.
You know, so there's a little bit like if I had been auditioning for it and it had been like a Best in Show, like something that I could latch onto conceptually.
Got it.
It might have been easier.
Okay.
I guess, but okay. it was very strange.
Okay.
So they're just throwing us on stage. Like we had our initial auditions like at a casting facility, and then they were bringing groups of people together, throwing them together on stage in a theater.
Okay.
And then they had another callback, which was on a sound stage, and we
really
like the final callback was like the last two groups of people or whatever.
Okay.
And they had us all come in
and you're all watching each other. Oh, no, you were.
No, we're working together. We're improv. They were doing fucking group improvs. It was hard.
Like this was a class.
Yeah, and then like some of the people. Do you know who Scott Adsit is?
Sounds familiar.
He was on 30 Rock. Did you watch 30 Rock?
Yeah.
He was like Tina Fey's writer, the writer guy who was always with Tina, like kind of bald.
Okay, yeah.
But really funny and dry. But he was there, and he's like a master improviser. So that was crazy. Yeah. And I didn't get the part, but in the end, I was like, "Well, it's cool. I got the improv with Scott Adsit for hours on end."
But what were they like throwing different ideas at you and saying, "Okay, now try it this way"?
Yeah, so long ago, I can't really remember. But yeah, they were like when we were in the theater, they're like, "Okay, let's you two are Scott, you're the waiter.
Wow,
you guys are three friends all at a table talking about this, and then you do it. You know, because we didn't have the script.
That's crazy.
We're going off the assumption that something like this is going to happen in the movie, but it's also like kind of vague. There's like so we're old friends, you know, and improv can be that way. I mean, that's like improv games and improv theater.
Yeah,
it's like
you're
getting pretty vague. I mean, it can be. You know, someone always like will yell dildo or whatever,
you know,
and you have some objects, but you're kind of creating a story with these various details. But like, I don't know, it's weirder when you know you're going to be working on something that has a narrative
and you're
improvising and you're getting like these vague elements, you know, it's like, well, we have these two details. We're
and
old
it's an
friends.
Audition.
And we're at a restaurant,
and
it's There's three of us, and you have a history. Okay. And then we make it up from there. But it's like, but if you have a narrative, you've got to give us more than improv game suggestions. You've got to let us know
what we're doing.
Like, what when you say a history, what's the fucking history? Are we actually making this up as we go along? Because it's not going to work if we are.
Right,
because
three different people. Yeah, it doesn't. And for an audition, it's like, is this what are we writing the script for you as we speak?
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, well, that's
trying to get ideas from us.
Yeah,
that's what's so.
Well, that's a commercial thing. I mean, it's like that's why they can't ask you to improv in commercials anymore. It's against union regulations. So that's why when they say make it your own, that's code for go ahead and ad lib.
Holy hell!
Yeah, so that they're not saying make it your own. But use the words they're saying. You can do whatever on this take. But if they ask you to improvise, that's illegal.
Holy hell, I did not know that.
A lot of people were tagging commercials via ad libs, and those ad libs would get plucked, used in the commercial, and the actor wouldn't get hired. So then they put a kibosh. They said no more improvising. Okay. But that fucking, it's fucking commercials. So you book them usually because of improvisation that you
do. Right, yeah.
So there's still obviously improv, but it's...
Oh, I didn't know that's what that meant. Okay, because there's so many rules and regulations of don't do this, don't piss them off. The writer wants it this way, this time, you know what I mean? So it's like I was told that don't go off script, don't anything because that's insulting, because this and the other. That's funny.
Well, if they say that in the room, they usually, if they don't want you to go off script, that's the first thing they say.
Okay.
But most of the time they don't. Because most of the time they want to ad-lib. Because a lot of the time, the scripts...
It's not as
you know, they get it, they're like, well, I don't know what the hell this is. Yeah. So, fine with it and see, you know. Because they're not even done developing the spot yet. And they're casting it. Maybe you're, you know, funny.
That's okay.
I booked a job once because of an ad-lib, I remember. And then I ad-libbed. And it really was the ad-lib that saved the really weird commercial.
How do you... Like, they told you later on?
No. It's just when I saw the commercial, I was like, oh, that was a super weird ad, but my ad-lib tied it all together.
Can you say what the ad-lib was?
It was... It really picks up in the third act or something like that. Because it was like Greek theater in the park.
Okay.
And it's like boring. Everybody's bored. And then they eat the chip. And then suddenly Little Richard appears and he's like playing a piano and there's dancers and all this stuff. And then I said, oh, well, it really picks up in the third act. I should have said fifth or fourth or something like that because it's Greek theater. But right. But when I saw the ad,
okay,
it was my face. It was me.
Aww.
And I said the line. Mm-hmm. My lips moved and said the line. Mm-hmm. But it wasn't my voice. They dubbed over... My voice was somebody else's.
You're lying.
No, it was so weird. And it was like...
Are you serious?
Yeah, and it was weird because it was the same line, but I know I delivered it better.
Wow.
Because I delivered it in a more dry fashion.
Yeah.
But for whatever reason, they probably thought the tone was too negative. Why they didn't call me is they thought, you can't do it because he delivered it that way. The line I fucking wrote, by the way. But then, and the guy sounded like a nerd.
Oh, it really picks up.
In the third act.
Oh, no.
And I was like, Jesus Christ. And you thought that was funnier than me? And also now it sounds stupid.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it didn't run for very long. That's why.
And were you the only one who noticed that wasn't your voice? But everyone noticed.
No, because it was just one thing in a commercial, okay. And they probably see my face, and they didn't.
What, did I'm your sure. agent say anything, or they didn't care?
No, they didn't care.
Okay.
Who fucking cares? Get the money.
Yeah, you're right. That's, okay.
And they get to do that. It's not like...
Yeah, there's
nothing legal. You know, in the end, it doesn't do anything to my residuals. It's the same.
Yeah, you still get, yeah.
It's the same.
And at least it was...
It just irritated me because I thought it was a really funny line.
And you said it.
And I said it, and I made it up, and I said it the right way, and they...
And they could have said it. Can you do it one way this way? Can you try it this way? They could have asked you.
Yeah, they could
have. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
But since you're so negative and bitter, I guess they figured, let's go. I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding.
I was negative and bitter. It was a weird job, too. I remember I was, kind of new in my career, and I get to the makeup place, and I'm like, yeah, I'm Todd. And they're like, oh, okay, sit down. And this lady starts putting this fucking makeup on me, and it's, ghostly white.
Uh-oh.
I was like...
Oh, God.
Are you sure this is the right... This looks weird to me. And she's like, no, this is... Everybody's getting the same thing. And I was like...
I'm in the audience.
What? I was like, no. And, she, done the whole thing.
Oh, no.
she kept doing it. I was like, no. This doesn't make sense. I'm pretty sure that shouldn't look like this. And she had made me up as one of the, Greek theater people.
And she's probably insulted that you're telling her how to do her job.
Yeah, so then she had to take it all off.
That's so embarrassing. Wait, how did you get someone to tell her? She looked at this.
She finally was like, what? And I was like, yeah, I'm eating the chips. And she's like, what? And she went and got an AD. And it's like, who the fuck is this guy?
Well, the AD should have said, this is Todd. He plays da-da-da-da-da. Mm-hmm. That sucks. But at least you have the wherewithal to be like, I shouldn't look like this.
Well, I was at first she was putting it on. And I should have said something right away. But, you know, I also didn't want to. People in commercials, step on toes. Too. It's gotten better over the years for me, at least. But back then, like, most commercial sets, everybody was kind of gruff. Mm-hmm. And they didn't treat you with respect. Yeah. As one of the actors, he's kind of
shut up and sit down.
Just shut up and do what you're told. Yeah. You're disposable and stay out of the way.
Yeah.
Until we tell you to get in the way.
Yeah.
And that's why, you know, when she started putting it on, I didn't want to tell her how to do her job. Like, I didn't know. Like, maybe there's something that she was putting on to put. But then I was like, there's no way I'm supposed to be this white.
Oh my God.
I'm already plenty white.
Oh no.
I'm already an ungodly white, and you've made me look like a fucking Klansman or something. Who, like, thinks you do it with paint instead of a hood.
Oh my gosh.
It's so weird.
Oh, Lord. Sure. She was like, sorry, yeah, you're right. Like, did she have to, like, kind of compose herself
Well, we all laughed about it. It was a fun misunderstanding.
Okay, I'm glad she didn't
I was apologetic. I was like, I'm sorry, I didn't say anything. I didn't want to be rude. And she was laughing. It was fine.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It was fine.
I would have been embarrassed, but I'm sure.
Yeah. I'd also, you know, it's like, I didn't squeak too much on commercials back then because I'd done enough with the infamous Joe Pitka to, like, kind of be scared of everybody. I was just sort of like, I don't want to fucking rock the boat.
But that's your personality too, though. You don't really rock the boat anyways.
Well, no, I don't. Not
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I just don't feel like you're not an instigator or you're not that person anyways.
I try not to be.
You go with the flow.
I say some incendiary things sometimes.
Right. But you don't walk in a room and
No, professionally, I want to be the nicest guy on set. I want to be the most helpful person.
And let's make this day easy.
From within the realm of my job.
Yeah.
I don't want to do anybody else's job.
You're not narcissistic. Yeah. No, I think that's awesome.
Yeah, that's it. And I treat everybody who's not an actor, I mean, and the actors too, but I treat everybody with respect.
Yes.
That's, you're doing a job.
And we're all here for the same
reason. I get, when I see actors, like, being bitchy, I'm always like, famous or not, I'm like, what? Like,
for
why?
What?
These people are just doing, they're just doing their job.
And you need them as much as they need you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess there can be real, like, on-set frictions if one of those positions is a jackass. But it just seems like, when I've seen it, I've been like, what are you talking about?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Why? Just shut up.
You're going out of your way to make this more difficult and to make this a very volatile workspace.
Right, right. Why do you do that? Yeah.
And this is, being on a set is the easiest of all. You know what I mean? It's not packing shelves at Target. Like, you're not doing anything that is a horrific job. You're not cleaning up litter on the freeway. So
Right. When
you walk onto a set, no matter how early your call time is, when you walk on with this attitude and you just literally are defecating over everybody around you, it's like, you're lucky that you're here, because there are people, how many people auditioned to get in your spot? You got it. And you're coming here with a nasty, stank attitude.
Well, it amazes me how, and I've worked on a number of shows where the mood on the set is entirely dependent on the mood that the lead actor, the star actor, is in that
day. Everyone tiptoes around it.
And I would hate to be that person. Like, I would hate to be... I would like to think that if I came in to work, like, for something that I had been working on for years, you know, you do get the... I imagine, I've never been a series regular, but I've recurred, and there's a certain comfort in going to the same job.
Yeah.
And, you kind of know the gig and you...
know the people, the crew.
Yeah. So you can get comfortable.
Right.
I understand that. But I would like to think that if I walked onto a set sobbing and cursing, the result would be, stop everything.
Yeah.
Todd's in trouble. We need to help Todd. This is not Todd. What is going on with Todd?
Right.
Versus you enter on to a set that way and everybody's fucking hiding behind things.
Yeah.
Because Jesus Christ, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
You know?
Let me stay out of the way.
Like, who's going to get... Is that person going to get mad at me? I don't want to get yelled at. You know what I mean? To govern a set via that level of fear from anybody, from a director, from a producer.
Yeah.
I know there's lots of producers who've got sets that way. Like I found out about shows that I loved, I thought were amazing. And then I find out after the show's off the air that everybody, like on the writer's staff, was miserable because the showrunner was an asshole.
Right.
You know, or like the two lead actors for 7 years were at each other's throats. Mm-hmm. And it's like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds... The money's good, you know? If you're
14 hours
on
the set,
but
that,
geez, that sounds awful.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree.
To like wait for a 7-year contract to run out and just collect all that money, but God, you're miserable.
You really are. And you're hiding in your dress room and you don't want to interact with anybody. And you're just like, I couldn't imagine.
No.
And nobody can say anything. Because in a real job, somebody's going to pull you aside and say, drop that attitude or get out. But if you're the lead of the show, the 2.5 Men with Charlie Sheen, like everyone had to blink and put up with it.
No, but then they got rid of him and replaced him.
Finally, but I'm saying all the other, you know, how long showing up 2 hours late, hungover, drunk, belligerent, this and the other, and everyone just has to kind of, okay, Mr. Sheen, okay, whenever you're ready. That would be, can you imagine?
No. No. That level of crazy, to put up with. But I mean, it happens all the time.
It happens. And every job, in every family, in every situation, there's always that one. But I think when you have to bite your tongue and take it, because this is your job and I need this money and I'm supporting my kids and it could destroy you.
I would imagine so.
But I still don't understand. This is what you signed up for. I'm talking about the actor who's belligerent. If this is what you signed up for, and you got the opportunity, you're doing it. What are you so angry about? And you're coming on set, you know, screaming and yelling at everybody from the catering lady to the, you know, parking guy.
The other thing that it upsets me about this dynamic that we're talking about is when you have the powerful monster on set.
Yeah.
There are always the sycophantic employees.
Yeah.
Oh, that's just how he is.
Yeah.
You know, he's so talented, though.
Yeah, I know.
We got to put up with him. He's so talented. He's very loyal. He hires me back all the time. It's like, really? I mean, you sound like a Nazi. Hitler's not perfect, but yeah, he's very loyal.
He loves cats.
He keeps bringing me back, keeps paying me. Mm-hmm.
Enablers. And I get it. I mean, that's human nature. That's what you do with that one family member that everyone hates, but we still have to invite him to Thanksgiving. You know, I know he gets drunk and he says this and that. I know, but I think that's human nature. People don't like
conflict
and they don't like to call someone out. And it's easier to just smile and be the bigger person and just, I know.
It's just so interesting to me because in these situations, it looks like there is already a conflict at every second of every moment.
Yeah.
And it's just nobody's standing up because nobody wants to get fired.
Right.
And it's like, but yeah.
Because I'm not going to put myself in the way of the bullet. So, and I get that too. Everyone's trying to protect themselves. Why should I stand up for everybody else and I get my ass chewed out and they still have a job? So I get both ends of it. But it does bother me when one person can literally change the dynamic of an entire room. Everyone's fine and everyone's doing, everything's cool, and that person gets on set and it's like, quiet, hushed voices, everyone's distressed. Okay, can we start now? Like, it's just when you feel that tension in the air. That is true. When you feel that shift and just that everyone's eyes start rolling, it just, that's the worst thing in the world. And to have to do day in and day out for hours and hours on a number one TV show or number one whatever, and why would you walk away from it? But in the same token, that would be horrific.
You need a job, but
12 hours a day I got to deal with.
But to be that person who commands fear when you walk into the room, like, they must get off on it.
That's narcissism at its finest. Yeah. And they don't even notice it.
Yeah, they just think this is the way the world should be.
Yeah, that's right. If you can't handle it, get out.
Yeah.
Little baby. Little bitch.
Little snowflake. Snowflake motherfucker.
And on that note, well, it has been very fun talking to the Todd Robert Anderson on Toncast.
Thanks for having me, Dre.
I've learned a lot about your ailments and about working on a set and auditioning and improv. And all in all, I think you are a great, fantastic, talented human being.
Thank you.
Who respects people and is not afraid to stand up for what is right.
Oh, that's so nice of you to say. I don't know if all of that's true.
Yeah, I know. I'm just trying to close
it. But I do know we didn't quite get to all my ailments because I do have this thing on my balls.